take them on consignment, Ray will be glad to write down your name and how many you're taking. Marsha has to buy one. Marshall has to buy one. And can't remember the third child's name now. Renee, she has to buy one. So see, I just helped you, Betty, sell three of them. So there's three out of your seven gone. And they, welcome to Mother's Day. Here's your Mother's Day rug.
Take away my shot at glory.
There you go.
Take away my shot at glory.
Yeah, everybody, buy one today for your mom.
Yeah, there you go.
That was my big deal of the day. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because you love someone and you want them to know, you want them to know. Amen.
Yeah.
This is the first of many.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Didn't you say Pastor Jim's is coming out?
Yes, Pastor Jim's is coming out.
Anybody remembers Pastor Jim's album?
We're working on that to get that available to us also.
Yeah. I have some blue cards, and I'm going to hand them out to the adults, and you write down
your name.
Your name. And how many you want, and then you can hand them in to me, and I will give you your CDs. It's a little quick way, so we won't take up your time.
Well, and the other thing that'll do, too, is let me know if we run out, how many more copies we need.
Right, okay.
I mean, we were running the computer at night, and I'd get up to go to the little boys' room in the middle of the night and take out the one and put in the next one and say, do it again. And so we were hustling to get that 75 of them made. But
If you see, when you see these, if for no other reason, song number 8 on this, the song number 8 on this.
What is song number 8?
Song number 8, I'm going to tell you, song number 8 is worth more than $15 in just in itself.
What is song number 8? No, you're not right.
Yes. To me.
wait a minute, number 8. Yeah. You're right, number 8, because it has Alexis Hale singing on it.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It has Alexis Hale singing on song number 8.
It's a duet with one of the finest ladies I have ever met in my life.
Yeah, that's true.
Lex Hale. One of the finest ladies that God has ever brought into this kingdom.
Yeah. I wanted to go, K-Tail Records presents your favorite gospel artist, and we're not talking about Elvis, but Ray said I couldn't do that.
You did it. He never listens, does he? Must be.
Never listens. What kind of songs are on here?
I'm going to give these out.
I don't know what's on here. Well, I read them off, but I don't know that there's stuff that you'll recognize. One Fine Day, God Can Grow a Man, written by Harvey Willis. Harvey Willis wrote that song. Cornerstone, there's a song here called Songs. Great Redemption Story, also written by Harvey Willis. Ain't No Way. Because of You, written by Keith Green. Wedding Song, which is number 8, the one he's talking about, that was written by Betsy Carter. I don't know how many of you know that, but Betsy Carter wrote Wedding Song, and Alexis Hale and I did it as a duet. Song number 9 is one called Childhood Love. Let me tell you the quick story on Childhood Love. I was invited to go to Brevard, North Carolina, to sit on a panel of young, up-and-coming Christian artists in a talent contest sort of thing. And so, you know, whenever you're doing that, you always pick the song that you can do best, and you dress to the nines, and, you know, you always try to put your best foot forward whenever you're trying to win a talent contest. All of a sudden, this next contestant walks out, and this girl, bless her heart, she really didn't have anything to brag about the way she looked. And in one hand, she had a guitar, and in the other hand, she had a stool. And she came out and set that thing down. Her hair was all over everywhere, and she had on these raggedy blue jeans and I'll never forget her as long as I live, and a flannel shirt. And she started picking that guitar, and she sang song number 9, Childhood Love. And when she got done, there wasn't a dry eye on the judge's bench or any of the people standing around listening. I mean, we were all just going... Just, I mean, a phenomenal piece of music done really well by that young lady. And I approached her after it was over and said, hey, can I record that song? Song number 10, I Thank You, Lord, is the song many of you helped support me years and years ago when we went out to Colorado for that national competition out there. And I Thank You, Lord, is the song that we sang out there in Colorado. Jesus Come Home is the one that was previously not released. Special Kind of Man, Woman of Woman, Who Do You Know? He's Alive by, who did He's Alive? Don Francisco. One of this church's favorite songs, Around Mount Sinai, remember that? Is on here. Friend is on here. The song right out of the hymn book, There's a Fountain. Miss Phillips' Prayer and To God Be the Glory by Andre Crouch are the 10 songs that are all on this particular album or CD. So I want to encourage you to take some with you and enjoy those. Any questions about it? Anybody got any questions about that then? All righty. Well, I'm going to start a set of cards over here with Michelle. What I'd like for you to sign, and we're going to put in the mail. One of them is to Kay Vanderberg, who's going through a difficult time in her life right now, and the other one is for, Diane and Jerry, who are having a difficult time right now in their lives also. And we want to just send a card of encouragement to them, so that thing will be working its way around here in just the next few minutes. Anybody else have an announcement? Have I overlooked any announcements or anything? In closing that part over there, and I do want to remind you, this Saturday is work day, 9 o'clock here at the church. Need as much help and participation out of that as we can possibly get.
Well, I was going to say to people, if you finish with your cards, you can put them in the offering baskets.
Okay.
Move them around.
Okay.
That way I'll get a jump on how many to set up for people.
Okay, that'd be good, yeah. If you'll go ahead and fill out that blue card then and put it in the offering plate when it's passed in a little bit, we sure would appreciate it. God's good to us, isn't he, folks?
Amen.
God's really, really good to us. And T, it's good to see you this morning. We are very glad to. I think you're the church's grandmother, and we are just really, really happy to have you with us here today. We sure are. Yes, ma'am.
I talked to Nate Jeffries on the phone the other day.
Yeah. That's great.
So anyhow, we really need to ask the Lord to do, drop a big kind of blessing on her. She needs tires for her car. She'd like to come up to visit, but it's not safe for her to do that. So anyhow.
Okay. Lord, we do want to pray for Lee. And Father, we would ask you that you would grant to her favor with the people with whom she's employed. And that, Father, their commitment to her, that you would move in their hearts and in their lives to make them honor simply the word that they've given. Lord, we believe you and we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to ask you all to stand, please, with me and give you just a few minutes to speak to each other. Why don't you hug a neck and say hey to somebody you haven't spoken to yet this morning, and we'll go into our praise and worship. All righty.
That's nice.
Okay.
Then I'll talk
about
it. No, don't do that. Right, go ahead.
I just want to let everybody know we're really happy to be here, and a little bit about what's going on with us. Michael's now a freshman in high school. Stephanie, a senior. She's been accepted to quite a few colleges, but she's chosen to go to Wake Forest. And, yeah, that's what I say. Oh, girl. The big thing is finances to go. But I had not had a review at work for 2 years and been doing quite well there. But I had one last week, and the vice president said that he wants to do it so that Stephanie can benefit also. And we don't want my salary to go up so high that we can't get financial aid. So they're going to do a scholarship for her every month to pay for her school.
Amen. Amen. God's good, isn't he? Amen. Let's all stand and worship the Lord this morning. Martha? Okay.
See this morning's offering. Thank you very much, John. There I am. There I are. Wes, if you'll help out, we got a hum somewhere.
They don't know the words.
Oh, that's what it is. They don't know the words, so it's humming. You going to help with the offering? Okay. Lord Jesus, we are grateful to you for your love and your mercy over our lives. And Lord, we that there is in worshiping you. And God, we declare that from the mountains to the valleys, may your praises fill the nations. That is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty. I was glad when they said, let's go. All righty, all of the children who are getting ready to go to a kid's place, if you'll come this way. Any elders I've got in the room?
Hey there, boy.
Is that right?
Hello.
Hello. Y'all come up here and stand with me. You make me look better. Elijah, come here, boy. Yeah, right here, buddy. Come on up here, hoppy horse.
Hoppy horse. How old are you?
Does it get any better than that? No, it does not. You're paying. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the children. God, we bless them in your name. Lord, we open up their spirits to receive from you today. And God, we claim every life for the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Go handsome. Yes, sir. Hopefully there's enough of those. Turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10, please. Mark chapter 10. Before we actually get started, we have a special guest who showed up just a couple of minutes late for service today. I think Miss Jackson might would like to introduce. Would you like to introduce your friend?
This is my friend, Russ, my son.
Amen. That'll help put a face to our praying for you, Rusty.
Amen.
Amen. We are praying for God's continued hand of grace on your life, is what we are praying. Mark chapter 10. I'm going to be reading out of the Living Bible, verses 13 through 16. Once, when some mothers were bringing their children to Jesus to bless them, the disciples shooed them away, telling them not to bother him. But when Jesus saw what was happening, he was very much displeased. Did you hear that? Very much displeased with his disciples, and said to them, "Let the children come to me, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as they. Don't send them away." Verse 15 out of the Living Bible reads this way, "I tell you as seriously as I know how." Listen to that translation. "I tell you as seriously as I know how that anyone who refuses to come to God as a little child will never be allowed into His kingdom." Now I'll read that verse to you again. You ready? "I tell you as seriously as I know how that anyone who refuses to come to God as a little child will never be allowed into His kingdom." Then He took the children into His arms and placed His hands on their heads, and He blessed them. Verse 15, "I tell you as seriously as I know how that anyone who refuses to come to God as a little child." We had a yard sale at my house on Saturday. My oldest daughter, Rebecca, spent Friday night with us because she had some of her junk in our stuff out. Her junk with our junk. And my oldest grandchild, Quentin, who's now five, he'll be five this month, was there with his mother. And Rebecca's 24, 25, something like that. And so they had gone to bed in the back bedroom. And it has been years since my first child, was in the bed and Daddy could go and kiss her goodnight. So Daddy is going down the hall because I am not going to miss this opportunity. I'm not saying anything that every parent in this room doesn't understand, Emma. If your child is 24 or 44, it makes absolutely no difference. They still your child. Amen? And I'm headed down the hall to kiss my daughter goodnight, and I step into a dark room and I hear, "And Jesus," and I stop. Thank you for my mommy and daddy. And then there was a pause. "And thank you that I got to play in the sandbox today. And thank you that I'm at Dee Dee and Mama's house to spend the night. And thank you we're going to sell stuff tomorrow. And thank you for letting us go to sleep." Amen. And I walked in there and I kissed my daughter goodnight. And then I kissed my grandson goodnight. And then I walked out of that dark room and I stopped and I thought about what it was I just heard. Never in any of that prayer did I hear, and I won't. Never in that prayer did I hear, and I need. Never in that prayer did I hear, bless me. All I heard was, thank you. And Jesus said, except we become as a little child, we will never see the kingdom of God. And the plaguing thought inside of my head is this. Am I missing the kingdom because I think it's about me? Am I missing the kingdom because my night-night prayer was, oh God, change my job, change my wife, change my children, change my finances, change my stress level, change my. Instead of my night-night prayer being, God, I thank you that you've helped me handle this day. I thank you that I've survived without killing somebody else and killing myself. I thank you that I'm still alive and that in the morning your grace and your mercies are going to be renewed afresh to me. Am I missing the kingdom because I'm not acting like a child? You see, you sit there and you hear this story, and I stand here and I tell that story, and we all go, isn't that so sweet? You know, children, they do the sweetest things. And do you know what we're saying without saying it when we say that? We're saying they do and I don't. That is the inference that we are making. Well, bless those little children. That's what they do. And we are automatically creating a divide between us and them. And we're saying, and that's a child, and I'm an adult. Well, I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. If being an adult means missing the kingdom, I want to be less adult. Quentin was thankful for playing in the sandbox. And I wonder how many millions of things I passed over in that same 24-hour period that I didn't say thank you for. But I tell you as seriously as I know how, that anyone who refuses to come to God as a little child will never be allowed into the kingdom. Mark chapter 10, verse 15. Now, personally, I don't care who we think we are. We might need to reevaluate who we think we are. We might be missing it by a million miles and be deceived in by the enemy into thinking that we're somewhere we're not. Because Jesus said it's only the children who get the kingdom. You see, now, you're not going to cut on your TV and hear this stuff.
Your faith must be great. Your faith must be strong. We must build. We must mature.
And hey, you know, all of that stuff is true. I'm just saying that the way we get there is not by mustering more want to. But by allowing Him to make us more childlike in His kingdom. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Verses 24 through 26. Once again, I'm reading out of the Living Bible. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone wants to be a follower of mine, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For anyone who keeps his life for himself shall lose it. Anyone who loses his life for me shall find it again." Here's the question. You ready? What profit is there if you gain the whole world and lose eternal life? But here's the part I want to concentrate on. Living Bible reads this way. What can be compared with the value of eternal life? Ladies and gentlemen, there's the question for the morning. What can be compared to the value of eternal life? This past couple or 3 weeks, I've been doing some personal inventory of my own life. And I just want to make a few statements to you concerning where I am, who I am, and what, where it is I believe my walk with Christ to be. The first statement I want to make is this: I am sick of where I am in my walk with Christ. I am sick of where I am in my walk with Christ. Statement number two: I'm sick of where I believe my walk to be and where others believe it to be. And I'm sick of the pressure of trying to live up to both expectations. Do I need to read that to you again? I am sick of where I believe my walk to be. I'm sick of where others believe it to be. And I'm sick of the pressure of trying to live up to both expectations. If I was half as good on the inside as my children think I am, I'd be somewhere, I think. But they just don't know, do they, baby? Statement number three: what I know about Christ is totally inadequate to meet the hunger that I feel for Him. What I know about Christ is totally inadequate to meet the hunger that I feel for Him. I am tired. Statement number four: I'm tired of being safe. I'm tired of routine. And I'm tired of the status quo. Tired of being safe. Tired of routine. And tired of the status quo. I want to read the red, live the power, or I want to get out of this rut altogether. I want to read the red, live the power, or I want to get out of this rut altogether. Because I'm going to tell you, in this rut I'm in, I hadn't found enough. When I hold my life up to the call of Scripture, I feel challenged. Not overwhelmed, not discouraged, but challenged. Being overwhelmed or being discouraged leads to excuses and compromise. Well, but I'm doing better than Frank is. Well, you know, I could be doing better, but I had this situation happen. I had that thing happen. I don't have this talent. I don't have that gift. See, when we feel discouraged and overwhelmed, what we fall back on is excuses. And I'm sorry, I forgot my other word. And compromise. You see, there's only... Ray Sigmund walked in my office this morning, took a yardstick, plopped it down on top of my desk and said, "This is the measure of a man." And you know what the truth is? I don't have one of these, so I'm going to borrow yours. This is the measure of a man. Remember how when we were children, we backed up to the wall and our mamas took a foot ruler or something and stuck it on our heads and we turned around to see how much we had grown? Well, in the last 2 or 3 weeks, spiritually, that's what I've done. I've backed up to this thing, turned around and looked, and I am discouraged. Well, I am challenged. Because there is so much more that I've not even cracked open yet. There's so much more that Jesus died on that cross for me to have that I haven't even ventured into yet. Here stands the measure of a man. I don't want to be known as the best pastor, great teacher, or good guy, and on, but simply as someone who is sold out, who feels his hurts, and who's experiencing victories. I want you to hear this next statement, ladies and gentlemen. I'm tired of believing that making an effort is enough. Hear me. I'm tired of believing that making an effort is enough. Well, we prayed, we talked, we feel your pain. We've made an effort to try to minister to you. I am sick up to my gills of making an effort for change. And I want to move from making efforts to believing God and change really happening. I am sick and tired of watching Betty drag that bottle behind her. And I'm going to tell you something. There ain't nothing wrong with Betty. There's something wrong with Don. There's another place in Jesus that I want to go to where I don't say to Betty, well, Betty, I'm believing. Well, Betty, I'm praying. Well, Betty, I'm hoping. I want there to be a place in Jesus where I say, Betty, let me lay my hands on you. I believe that there's a place in Jesus where I can lay my hands on Rusty Jackson. And he doesn't have to go to the research triangle part to get a new lung. God can breathe new life into him. I am sick and tired of looking into eyes like Samima has this morning. The eyes of a mother who's made a hard decision and it's broken her heart. I'm sick and tired of all I'm able to offer her is, I love you, I understand, and you've done the right thing. I want there to be in my life a hug that heals the hurt. I'm sick of it being safe and being routine and being status quo. Well, we're praying for you. Well, it ain't doing me any good. So maybe we might need to take a look at who's doing the praying. People are at stake here. Change only comes when I surrender my will to the will of God. There must be a commitment on my part to love and seek after Jesus with my whole heart and reject anything that keeps me from that goal. Chuck Colson said, "Much of the Christianity we slickly market is nothing but a religious adaptation of the self-seeking values of secular culture. Even if the church seems to be succeeding, growth outruns depth, and outward success masks inward emptiness." And to that, all I can say is, there I am. That's exactly right. Even if the church, let's change that word. Even if Don seems successful, his growth is outrunning his depth, and his outward success masks his inward emptiness. Now, some of you are looking at me going, "What is wrong with him? It sounds like to me we need to be praying for him." Yes, you do need to be praying for him. Yes, I will give you that. But I'm going to tell you what's wrong. There's been a new taste of salt in my mouth. And I'm so thirsty, I am dissatisfied with what I'm drinking. Sometimes I endeavor to point out the obvious by bringing to you the absurd. Rush Limbaugh and I are the masters of that. But I'm going to tell you something. If this is all there is in God, I'm ready to go on home because this ain't enough. This ain't enough. Remember Star Trek? Going where no man has been before. That maybe needs to be our motto. I've known some great men in my life. But even the greatness I see in their life, I believe to be so far from what Jesus died even for them. That just, you know, it's like, I told my dad a couple of Christmases ago, "Daddy, when I grow up," and I'm 47, "when I grow up, Daddy, I hope my life exudes half as much grace. I hope I'm half as patient with stupidity as I see you being." Can I say that? "I hope I am half as loving, half as compassionate, and half as caring." But you know, today I take that back, Daddy. Because that won't be enough anymore. I hope I'm twice as loving and twice as caring and twice as able to understand and not pass judgment on stupidity. Amen? Anybody in here not ever done anything stupid that you needed somebody to love you in spite of? I've gotten it down to about 15 times a day. Amen? There are four characteristics that I'm going to share with you this morning that I believe will lead us to where it is in the next step I want to try to go. Characteristic number one, I must be preoccupied with Jesus. I must be preoccupied with Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is not a Jesus is an historic figure, but that's not all he is. Jesus is alive and well today. We hear a lot of sermons about the pre-existent Christ, how He was there before time. Every Christmas we get together and we talk about the incarnate Christ and how He came to earth. And then we sort of skip over life and we talk about a second coming Jesus and how we're ready for Him to come. Hey, I want to tell you something. There's a Jesus who is alive and who is well and who is walking in the earth today with everyone who is willing to walk with Him. And we can't do anything about Him being pre-existent or incarnate. And we can't hurry His coming and His second coming. But we can make a decision and a commitment in our hearts and in our lives that today I am going to live not as much for Jesus as with Jesus. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. He's not Jesus way off there somewhere. He is Jesus right here. Right here. And if I'm ever going to get any kind of relief from the thirsting that is in my soul, I've got to be preoccupied with an understanding and with an awareness and with the reality of how close Jesus is. I wish He was close to me. He is close. What we need to be asking is not, Lord Jesus, come and be close, but Lord Jesus, open my eyes that I can see how close You are. Because you see, He's never left us and never forsaken us and never abandoned us. And as much as we have trouble believing this concept, there's not one person in this room that Jesus loves any more than He loves anybody else in this room. Not one single solid person is more loved by Jesus than anybody else in this room. And what Jesus is willing to live with in one, He's willing to live with in all. The matter is not on His end. Oh Lord, I wish You'd come and be real to me. He's standing there going, I am real. I wish You would let me be real to You. Let's put the responsibility, I believe, where it needs to lie, ladies and gentlemen. Open my eyes, God, that I might see You. Not open my eyes that I might look around and see if You're here. Because the earth is filled. Not going to be, will be, should be, ought to be. The earth is filled with His glory. My problem is I can't see. We're talking on a whole other level now, aren't we? Characteristic number two. I must have a sense of the reality of community. Whoop. I must have a sense of the reality of community. Now, what do I mean by that? What I'm talking about is a love and a care for others in the faith, and a love and care for others who are outside of the faith. I'm getting ready again this week I actually meant to mention this on number one, being preoccupied with Jesus. I'm getting ready again this week to go into a situation. This is my last week of training in my new promotion at work. And they're going to take me and I don't know how many others, people from all over the country though, we're all coming to Charlotte. We're going to be locked up into a motel for 5 days, Monday through Friday of this week, for this extensive training program we're supposed to go through. Anyway, it's a waste of time as far as I'm concerned, but nonetheless, They didn't give me a vote on it. I'm getting ready to be thrown into a group of people where what has happened for the last almost 50 years is getting ready to happen again. It just starts to weigh on my nerves after a while. But what's going to happen is I'm going to be one. Let's say there's 50 people coming, I don't know. I'm going to be one of 50. I'll be the oddball in the group. I'm going to be the guy who's going to not be like everybody else. Last Thursday, I'm having lunch with two other branch manager trainees and our boss. We're sitting there having lunch, and he says to us, "Oh yeah, by the way, guys, when you all go to the university next week, let me tell you, they will call me quicker, and you will be in more trouble over doing something stupid because you drank too much than over anything else that you'll do." So I'm telling you right now, I don't need a phone call telling me that you guys drank too much and did something stupid. And he looks at me and says, "Don, you don't drink, do you?" One out of four, and I'm the guy standing up. I said, "Ken, if I were to tell you the honest truth, you wouldn't believe me." He said, "What's the honest truth?" I said, "Not only do I not drink, I've never drunk in my entire life." He goes, "That's unbelievable." I said, "It is unbelievable. My children are still coming to me going, 'Are you sure, Daddy?' It's the God's honest truth. Never in my entire life, twice in my entire life, have I ever had alcohol. Communion at a Lutheran church and communion at an Episcopal church. That was all." And the guy sitting across the table says, "And you know how much you've missed? Nothing. You know how much you've missed? Nothing." See, and that's going to happen on a bigger scale next week. Next week, I'm going to be the odd man out. But see, what's the reason I'm telling you all this? Because I'm going to tell you what's going to disturb me. There's going to be about three or four more who are kind of, sort of, almost, perhaps, maybe like me just a tad bit. And they're going to be going along with the flow. And then all of a sudden, they're going to see somebody who's standing against the stream. And they're going to come and go, "You know, really, I want to stand over here with you." And I'm like, "Why didn't you stand up the first time then? Why did you have to wait until you saw somebody else setting the standard before you were willing to set the standard? Why couldn't you open your eyes and see Jesus standing next to him and be more concerned about what he's thinking than what they're thinking?" There's the question, ladies and gentlemen. We got to be preoccupied with Jesus where it doesn't make any difference what everybody else is doing. We're doing something different. Because I'm not like them. Now, you know, when I say that, people, "Oh, that's because you think you better than them." No, I never said that, nor do I believe that. I just know I ain't like them. And it's not because I had Pastor Jim for a daddy and Miss B for a mama, or because God dropped some special little shot or pill of grace into my life that Don got to be the way Don is, and if I'd had the advantages he... No, that is excuses and compromise and baloney, and another word that I won't use because we got the tape running. But you know exactly what I mean. Because you see, God doesn't have anybody who's... Everybody is the same special. There's no specials with Him. And I'm going to tell you something. I am, you are, we are where we want to be with Christ, because this is as much price as we've been willing to pay up to this point. Now, if you can't say amen, you got to say ouch. I must have a sense of the reality of community, a love and care for others in the faith and also those outside the faith. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? Of course, we've done a really good job of this here, but we're getting ready to get challenged on it more than we ever have. We've got to get past race, class. We've got to get past lifestyles. You see, all I want to know is the past in the past? And it really doesn't make any difference what you've done in the past. Have you put it at the foot of the cross, allowed the blood to wash over the top of it? If you have, why don't you forget it? He's forgot it, and I'll forget it with you. But if I'm going to get in Christ where it is I want to be in Christ, I've got to be willing to be Christ-like and say, go and sin no more. Neither do I condemn thee. I've got to get to a place where I control my tongue. To the place I don't say things that hurt people's feelings. To where I am sensitive to what not only needs to be said, but how it needs to be said and when it needs to be said. Third characteristic that must be in my life, I must pray for the presence. I must pray for the presence. One more scripture reference. Would you turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look this direction for a second. I must pray the presence. Let me tell you why. Because it's the presence that is the presence that produces the power for change in my life. It is the presence of God that produces change in my life. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, those of you taking notes, verses 1 through 4. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, I'm reading out of King James, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Now verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, comma, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Ladies and gentlemen, God has granted to me a tremendous gift of gab and a gift of influence. And God's convicted me of this. I haven't had a chance to share this with you. But God's convicted me of this for years. I've loved to play a game with my wife and with my children and anybody who would play with me. And here's how the game goes. Pick a subject, any subject, tell me what it is you believe about it. I will pick the other side of the subject and let's argue that point. It doesn't even make any difference if I agree with you. I'll pick the other side. Because you see, what I am growing into understanding is that that was a prostitution of the gift that God had given me of influence and persuasion. Now that's a startling revelation to come to. Because I'm going to tell you something. You can say to me, the sky is blue and the grass is green. And I'll say to you, the grass is blue and the sky is green. And when we finish, you'll believe the grass is blue and the sky is green. Because I can twist it, can't I, Anna? She said, yes, you can. I can twist it and I can mingle it and I can figure out where your hot button is and I can phrase it in just such a way that all of a sudden you'll catch yourself going. And the minute you do, I got you. You see, in order for me to get where it is I believe God wants me to go, one of the characteristics is I got to pray for the power and not depend on my slick words to get me where I want to go, but depend on a demonstration of this power and the Spirit of God. And I'm not talking about... You understand I keep saying I. Okay? Because I can only commit myself. I'm talking about us-ins. I'm talking about we-ins. I just threw a couple things in for Mother and Joyce to, you know, be able to know they were at church this morning. My two English teachers. I'm talking about all of us. I am feeling challenged in my heart to be more than I ever believed possible. And I want to help share that gift with you. And number four, the fourth characteristic that I believe that we must have in our lives, if we're going to see more of Jesus than we ever thought possible, I must be willing to sacrifice. I must be willing to sacrifice. You may want to write this down. You don't have to if you don't want to, but you may want to write this down. Sacrifice is never a problem when we put value on what we're sacrificing for. I'll say it again slowly for those of you who do want to write it down. Sacrifice is never a problem. Sacrificing is never a problem when we put value, when we put value on what we're sacrificing for. Sacrifice is never a problem when we put value on what we're sacrificing for. As a mother, what sacrifice would you not make for your children? Ding, ding, ding. Point made right there. Sacrificing never becomes a problem when what we're sacrificing for we've attributed value to. And we are Jesus, please help me. The things we put value on, we're making sure they get taken care of. Aren't we? Yesterday, while we were having our attic sale, Rebecca was so sick. Bless her heart. And she's pregnant, so she can't take anything. And she just is trying to get through. And she got too hot and overheated. And she went inside for a little bit. And she left Quentin with me and Michelle. And she comes back out. And she hasn't even cleared the front porch good. And I'm standing there. And you know what her first question is? Where's Quentin? And because of the value that I place on him, I said, standing right there at the sandbox. I knew where the boy was. Because we got cars coming and going, up and down the street, stopping and backing up, people I don't know walking up into the yard. And what am I doing? I'm knowing where Quentin is every second. Why? Because there's a value placed on that boy's head. If I didn't value him, I'd just say, just go ahead and do whatever you want to do. Yeah. Wouldn't I? See, I am automatically involved in everything that I have placed value on. Our problem is we just got value sometimes in the wrong places. Now, if I'd stop right here, we probably could walk out the door and everybody be sort of happy and kind of all right about everything said so far. But you know, I can't stop. I got to take just this. See, next Saturday, some people are going to place value on how God's house looks and some people are not going to. And those who put value on the presentation of how God's house looks will be here to make sure that it looks good as to the best that they're able to attribute and contribute. And those who don't put value on it, they're going to sleep in. Now, please hear me. I understand there's some people who will be working. You know, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about those who can't. I'm talking about those who can and won't. You know why? It's because it's not part of their value system. Because, see, sacrifice doesn't become a problem whenever you've placed value on something. Sacrifice no longer becomes the issue. Some months back, I called my mother. I said, "My wife is so sick. What's wrong with her? This and that and this and that and this and that. Well, does she have any of this stuff in the house?" I said, "Michelle, have we got any of this kind of stuff?" "No, I don't have any." "I'll bring some over." Get in the car, drive all the way from her house way over here to my house way over there, because there's something of value by her system that needs to be... Everybody understand that? Let's just take it over to the kingdom. When we place value on the things of the kingdom, we'll be involved in the things of the kingdom. And the reason why we're not involved in the things of the kingdom is because we think something else is more important. Whoop! 15-yard penalty, clipping, ball goes this way. But hey, that's the truth. That's the truth. I am hoping to drop some salt. You know the old expression, you lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. That's not true. You lead him to water, you stick salt in his mouth, he'll stick his head in the water. I am hoping that this morning that the Spirit of God will use the things that I've said to drop some salt into our mouths, and that we will all become disgruntled with where, discontent, let me use that word, discontent with where we are in Christ. To challenge ourselves that more of you, let's do that next week, Keith, more of you is what I want. I want more of you. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You are such a loving and caring and forgiving God. Because we come to You this morning and we ask You to forgive us of setting our standards so low. It is possible in Your kingdom for every thought to be brought captive. But first, You got to catch us. Lord, frankly, I'm tired of running. And I just want to stand right here and say, "Lord Jesus, come get me. And make me and mold me and recreate me into Your plan and into Your purpose." Father God, please visit this church. Visit Your church with Your presence and with Your power. That's what we're believing You for. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you. Happy Mother's Day to all.